from the trenches.
In today's interview, I chat with Christopher Arnold, who is head of data research and SMP at IFAC, the International Federation of Accountants. Christopher and I have a great discussion where we talk about the results of the global SMP survey, and particularly what we do is we break out the results that we saw from Australian practitioners and understand where that sits globally. There was some similarities, there were some differences. It was really interesting to me that the fee pressure experienced by public practitioners in Australia, the Australian results, were a lot lower than their international counterparts, which is interesting given what we hear day to day. The technology adoption globally wasn't up to the speed of Australia, which I think we kind of get. We understand, and Australia actually was ahead of the global in terms of flexible working. Anyway, they were just a few of the things. Have a listen. We go through a lot of stuff. I hope you enjoy. So we're here with Christopher Arnold, head of SME, SMP, and research at IFAC. Christopher, thank you for joining us.
Delighted to be here, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
So we've got the data, we've tracked it down, we've reached in and we've extracted the Australian global results, and we've got some interesting comparisons to the global results. Listeners, we are in for a treat, absolutely. Christopher, just tell us a little bit about the demographics of the Australian results.
Certainly. So yeah, we were delighted to get a high number of responses from Australia, out of the total over 6,000 that we had in response to the survey. Fascinating to see that the majority of responses are either sole practitioners or 2 to 5 partners and staff. So in fact, around 90% in Australia are from that category, which is significantly higher than the global average. So interesting to see that is the highest demographic responding to the survey from Australia.
And I think that's great, because when we go on to the challenges and the responses to tech and advisory, we hopefully are getting some really tight answers around the demographic that we work in. So let's talk about predicted fee revenue growth. So the people that voted or that tick these as moderate or substantial, what do we see?
Yeah, some fascinating statistics here. I mean, it's well known that the traditional compliance services provided by practitioners really is the majority of their fee income, but we're seeing an increase and diversification globally around the predicted fee revenue from advisory and consulting services. So over 50% globally are predicting a moderate or substantial increase in that fee service line. And that was actually higher in Australia. So there is real interesting data there in terms of what practitioners are looking for growth in terms of their future fee revenue.
And I think that the one thing that did stand out in those was the 13% versus 36%. So it was basically half the reliance on audit and assurance, which really does reflect the type of work that often is talked about globally. There's a lot more of that in the small firms. Let's move on to advisory services, one of the favourite topics of this show, just for the fact that nobody understands what it is. Let's talk about it. We've seen some interesting stuff here.
Yeah, so in Australia, 88% of practitioners are providing some form of advisory or consulting service. So that's slightly higher than the global average, which is interesting to see. And when we really bury down and understand what type of advisory services are being provided by practitioners, and in Australia, you'll see that the top line service is management accounting. So that's planning, performance, risk management, internal control, budgeting. And that's actually similar to the global results, because that's also the top finding for the global picture. But what's very interesting in Australia is that business development is significantly higher, double the global average in terms of the number of practitioners providing that type of service. So that's really covering the marketing, benchmarking, strategy, transformation of data in terms of that service line. So very interesting to see that. And if you look at the other range of services being provided by practitioners, you'll see that IT is also double the global average in terms of practitioners providing some type of service in that space, which is interesting to see.
And I think that's, due to the adoption here as well. Something that jumped off the page for me was also the succession planning, which also went basically close enough to double the average. So that was good in terms of advisory services that we certainly had that above, but we were below in corporate advisory, which I thought was interesting. What's corporate advisory do, Christopher?
Yeah, corporate advisory, we break down into covering mergers, legal, valuations, due diligence, financing, and money laundering, anti-money laundering.
Yeah, so that was down a bit in Australia versus the global. Anyway, that was really interesting. Let's talk about the top challenges, because obviously we hear a lot about the challenges facing the industry. So what did we see, and where was Australia and compared to the world?
Yeah, interesting to see actually that practitioners in Australia found that technology development was a significant challenge for them. So that's those that are saying that it's a high or very high challenge in response to the survey. So almost half are saying that it's their top challenge. And that's much higher than the global picture, probably 10% higher than the global picture. The other top challenges are ones that practitioners would always raise as key concerns. So keeping up with new regulations and standards and attracting new and retaining existing staff are also very high. And that's the same for Australia and the global picture. But what's interesting to see, looking at the Australia data, is that pressure to lower fees and competition are significantly lower than the global averages, probably less than half, yeah, in terms of the practitioners that are really experiencing issues in those areas. So fascinating to see that picture.
Yeah, and that, absolutely. No, I think, certainly with a lot of the media, social media especially, the pressure to lower fees, I was almost surprised that it was such high at 48% globally, but such low 20% in Australia. So I love the differences to see how it's going. Talking about the technology, which obviously was the largest top challenge, obviously. So let's talk about the responses to the questions around tech development.
Yeah, so we asked practitioners to indicate what are they going to do to address the challenge of technology, either that they've done or they're going to do in the next 12 months. And what's really fascinating here is that in Australia, 67% of practices have adopted or are planning to use cloud options for client interface and servicing. And the global picture is much lower, so it's down at 32%. So clearly, cloud has really taken off here in Australia compared to the global picture, which is really interesting to see.
Absolutely. I think that definitely that's what we sort of live it. We live it every day. I guess almost part of me wants that 67 to be higher. I don't want it to be, certainly hopefully we can help the global numbers reach. There were some others that we were below.
Yeah, there certainly was. So we were interested to see how practitioners were really staffing technology. So were they looking to build skills in-house or recruit externally? And we found that globally, interestingly, that the majority of practices, so 37%, are developing in-house skills and expertise in IT. And that was slightly lower in Australia, down at 22%. And interestingly as well, globally, there's been a drive towards recruitment of non-accountants, so IT specialists, data scientists. So around a quarter of practitioners globally are doing that. But in Australia, it's much lower, so less than 10% are undertaking
it's
that.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, you sort of look at the numbers, and obviously accountants just love numbers. That's why it's so exciting. And I guess it's, for me, it's sort of to be ahead of the tech curve, but then behind in recruiting, in recruiting the non-accountants or developing the in-house skills. And, I guess part of me sort of thinks that because we're using the cloud systems that are more automated, we don't have to develop a lot ourselves because we get off the shelf. It used to be off the shelf. How old am I? But our solutions now are sort of more out of the box. So that's, that's great. And other things that were there, plan to spend more than 10% on revenue, track to the global, around the global average, expanded reach in servicing of clients, 30% of respondents, and that was bang on the global average. So, those sort of things are really interesting. And of course, we'll put a link to the results in the show notes so everyone can go. We're just bringing out the high level here.
Yeah, what was interesting, Paul, is that when we look at the level of investment that firms are making in technology, so Australia is similar to the global picture in terms of a quarter of firms are actually going to spend more than 10% of their revenue on technology investment going forward, which for us is a significant amount, and it's far higher than the investment in marketing, branding and training that firms are undertaking. So they really are trying to address this challenge.
And that's great, as they, you know, as certainly as they should. And I think, I mean, accountants have always been a little bit lucky and spoilt with the fact that we've got a lot of referral. You know, a lot of our marketing is referral or word of mouth. You know, so I think certainly spend more on tech and less on marketing. Our listeners to the show love that I always trash a bit of marketing, but anyway, it's all good. Look, let's move on to talent. You know, obviously it was one of the key challenges that the survey threw up. So what do we see?
Yeah, interesting. We really look at talent management as key to practice transformation in the future. We had a question around whether firms are finding difficulty attracting next generation talent. And around 45% of firms in Australia have that challenge, slightly lower than the global average, but still quite key for them. And when you bury down and see why are they having that challenge, 84% of firms in Australia have indicated that it's a lack of candidates with the right mix of skills. And that's much higher than the global average in terms of the people coming through that they can really attract to their business.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting also for me, jumping back up, was that the 30% were not applicable to any staffing challenge. And again, probably reflects the smaller size of the firms. You know, certainly in my firm, we've got the staff, they're there. We're not necessarily growing at a million miles an hour. So yeah, that was an interesting figure. A high percentage aren't even playing in that need for talent.
Yeah,
talent space. Go.
Yeah, I think it really represents the fact that that a lot of the responses from Australia were sole practitioners, so aren't even looking to bring in staff at this current point in time.
If they can find them at all, I think you know, is certainly even if they were looking. Interesting about that, the concern about work life balance. Where did the results sit on this?
Yeah, we asked the deep dive question in terms of why are firms having an issue, and we had a range of options in terms of what could be the reason, and one of them was that nearly half of respondents from Australia thought that there was a concern about work-life balance and flexibility for new recruits, and that could be why they were unable to attract the next generation of talent. So for the professional, I think it's a critical issue because we need to appeal to the younger generation and be more attractive to those individuals that we want to recruit.
Yeah, and I think that 46% concern about work-life balance, certainly traditionally and historically in firms, it's always been that last to leave. You know, you sort of got to send that last email if you stay and work late to show that you put in the hours, and it was always a badge of honour. But the talent management initiatives, and I think this is a key result where Australia really were quite above in a lot of initiatives. What were they?
Yeah, now this is very interesting because we had a question around what talent management initiatives have firms introduced or are they planning to introduce in the next 12 months? And Australia seems further ahead, let's say, than perhaps the global picture in this respect, because we found that 60% of firms have introduced flexible hours or work days in Australia. So that's around
60. That's big.
Yeah, so the global average is slightly less than half in that respect. And what is also quite significant is that in Australia, they've also introduced virtual work arrangements, so working from home off-site, and that's probably 20% higher than the global average. And they've also had a focus on soft skills development compared to global, so much higher initiatives in that respect. And we think that those are all key, actually, in terms of how you attract staff and how you retain staff, in particular around the flexibility and asking staff, how can we best service you in terms of your work-life balance and therefore improve the productivity and happiness of staff?
And I think it's a mix of everything for me. I think that there's certainly the talent management initiatives, flexible work, the use of technology also takes away some of the grunt work that the talent would have left because they were sick of doing hours of photocopying. So, look, extremely interesting. Do yourself a favor, go out and grab a copy of the results. If you're interested in data, there's an executive summary that's got the sort of high-level stuff, and there's also, I'm sure, a report about the rest of the data. But thank you very much, Christopher, for joining us.
Thanks, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks again for listening to an episode of From the Trenches. David and I love to hear from listeners, so you can reach out if you've got feedback or story ideas. Get in touch. I can be reached on Twitter at @PaulMeissner_ or on LinkedIn, Paul Meissner.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, Boyar, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
From the Trenches.